This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Despite efforts to lower emissions, Bexar County fell short of the EPA's new clean air requirements. Last week, the county was officially described and put into the marginally non-attainment classification by the EPA. Until now, San Antonio was the largest U.S. city still in compliance with federal ozone standards. How have the regulatory changes affected Bexar County's ability to meet EPA standards? What new measures may be put into place to achieve compliance with the Clean Air Act? How could increased federal scrutiny affect area businesses? How much is this going to cost you? We're going to be talking about that for the rest of the hour. We invite you into the conversation. You got questions or comments, call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org, tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined with a Bexar County Judge. Nelson Wolf joins us. Also with us, Anna Sandoval, San Antonio City Council member from District 7. Diane Rath is the Executive Director of the Alamo Area Council of Governments. And Sid Martinez is here. He's the Executive Director of the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. Wow, we got an all-star panel here this afternoon. It's great to have you here in the studio. Let's start off with County Judge Nelson Wolf. Tell me your reaction that San Antonio, that Bexar County, is in non-attainment.
Well, I didn't agree with that because we're on a path, and they acknowledge that we're on a path to meeting all of the standards well in advance of the attainment date of 2021. We've made extraordinary efforts in San Antonio to clean our air. I remember the first time I was approached with it was in July of 18th, 2001, when the EPA Administrator Greg Cook called on me and stated that he thought we might be thrown into non-attainment, that we had one opportunity that was to create a clean air pack among the eight counties. We all worked together very hard to do that. Bexar County was the first to pass it. We eventually got all eight counties to pass it, and we took aggressive stance to clean our air. We started the Metropolitan Partnership for Energy. We bought a lot more vehicles that were using E8 gasoline, low emission buses. CPS started on an aggressive program to use clean energy. We worked with the home builders to create a program, a green building program. South Texas nuclear plant increased by 12%. That was just the start of it. And so for the last 16 years, I guess, since that visit, we've made extraordinary efforts, and we're recognized that by EPA. So I didn't understand why they said that about us, and at the same time threw us into noncompliance.
But this is called a marginally noncompliant.
Yes.
What does that mean? Is that a different sort of standard? Can you talk about that, Anna Sandoval, District 7?
Sure. Thank you for having us here. I think this is a very important topic. I do want to take a step back, David, and sort of clarify what we're talking about here. We're talking about ozone and what type of pollutant that is. So ozone is also known as smog. It's a lung irritant. It's a respiratory irritant. And it mostly affects people that may already have a respiratory condition, such as COPD or asthma, people who are elderly, and especially our children whose lungs are still developing. With excessive exposure to ozone, what we might see is lungs that do not fully develop in children, or people having more asthma attacks if their asthma is uncontrolled. So this is particularly important. We have a particularly high hospitalization rate for childhood asthma in Bexar County compared to the rest of the state. So it's important for us to pay attention to this issue. That's why these standards were developed, to protect public health. The judge is absolutely right that a lot of progress was made about beginning 16 years ago when we signed something called the Early Action Compact. It kept us out of non-attainment by saying we are going to do all these improvements. We did a great job. Since then, The EPA has ratcheted down those standards because it's required to review the standards every few years.
So when you say ratcheted down, does that mean they made them tougher?
They made them more stringent. Okay. So now the standard is lower. So even though we met the last standard, we find ourselves in a position.
It's confusing to hear that. People don't really know. So when you, they're making them a tougher standard.
That's right. The numbers of concentration are lower, but it's a tougher standard because science has since told us that people experience adverse or bad health effects at these levels. So that's why we are where we are today. I know that there are many people who did not want this designation. It does come with some things that we have to do. It does make a little bit more work for some of us, but ultimately the goal is to protect public health, and that is a worthwhile endeavor. So that's why we're going to work on meeting the standards.
Correct. So I think that brings up a very important point, and let me go to Diane Rath for this. This doesn't mean our air has gotten worse, correct?
Oh, our air is so much cleaner, and I think it's important what you said at the very beginning, that we're the largest city in the country that is still in attainment. Our air is so much cleaner than either Dallas or Houston or any other major metropolitan area. In fact, we have decreased the percentage of ozone in our air over 20% in the last 15 years, despite our population increasing over 500,000 people. So a significant improvement because of the combined efforts of our public and our private entities.
And to Councilman Sandoval's point about how, but there is a cost public health-wise to having ozone levels that we experience in our air, and how if you wonder, like, why does my child have asthma as you get older, and say, why am I having trouble breathing? What is going on? Even though our air may be getting cleaner, it still has ozone levels that is an irritant to many people who have respiratory conditions.
Correct. There was a recent study by the American Thoracic Society that about 52 people die prematurely here in Bexar County because of the levels of ozone that we have. So those are 52 lives that could be saved. That's about equal to how many people are killed in pedestrian accidents here in Bexar County or in the city as well. And that's also a very high priority for us, right? We would work on that to reduce those deaths. So I think that's what we want to do here too.
Correct. So back to the other question about marginal non-attainment. That's the classification that the EPA has applied to Bexar County. Sid Martinez with the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, what does that mean to you?
It means that we'll have to be doing quite a bit more in how we plan and how we program our transportation projects. There's a lot of questions about, does this mean that projects, will be stopped or that we can't implement certain types of projects? And that's not really the way it works. It really does put a lot more work in the plans and the programs that the MPO is responsible for implementing as we move forward with transportation projects. Luckily, that means that the public hopefully will not see a lot of that in the way that construction projects normally move forward. A lot of that work will happen at the MPO and, again, in some of our travel demand models and in our long-range and our short-range plans and the minutiae of the work that we do. And I'm not trying to minimize the work because it's going to be a lot. But we will do everything we can on our end to ensure that projects continue to move forward the way they normally have. It's just a whole next extra level of scrutiny and to ensure that the projects that we're implementing aren't worsening the air.
So explain to me, help me understand why having been in marginal non-attainment or non-attainment would have impacted the construction projects.
So there's five different classifications for air quality. There's marginal, moderate, serious, extreme, severe, and extreme. And so San Antonio will be at the lowest level, the marginal. And that doesn't really change a lot in terms of the work that we have to do to show that our projects aren't worsening the air. Luckily, what it does do, though, is probably shorten the amount of time that that we will be in non-attainment. That's what we're hoping. A lot of times, it's very hard for an area to get out of non-attainment once they're in. In Texas, probably Beaumont and El Paso are the only two examples of areas that have been declared non-attainment, and after maybe a decade or a decade and a half have come out of non-attainment. But the lower the classification, the easier it is to get out of that. And so we're hoping that being declared at the marginal level will help us to get out of non-attainment quicker, although it will take probably a decade to do that.
And Diane Rath, you wanted to join?
Well, I think it's important that there's so many ramifications in addition to the conformity review for transportation projects that have federal funding. The state has to develop an implementation plan, and they will have to do an inventory of every business in the county that releases any pollutant to the air, and then document what those pollutants are. That's an emissions inventory. They require that any business that seeks to expand or to locate in Bexar County has to have an offset. So you can't just come and set up business. You have to find a way to save that same amount of ozone plus a little bit more. At the marginal level, it's a 1 to 1.1 ratio. Industry is required to implement the most up-to-date technology. They have to implement the reasonably available control technologies. That's the industry standard for pollution control. So for many well-established long-term businesses, there might be a cost of being required to invest in new technology that ordinarily they might not have to. You also will have some inspection and maintenance review of engines. So there is a broader base there. And even when you come out of non-attainment, even when you are successful, and I'll remind folks, we're barely over it. When they changed the rules, the old limit was 75 parts per billion. Now it's 70 parts per billion. Our monitor was at 73. So just above that new standard. You're under the EPA review for 27 years. So even when you hit attainment, you still are subject to EPA review.
I'm going to go to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. David is on the line. And David, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention, and I'm in the city of San Antonio, and like on Wurzbach Road here, you see a lot of these traffic signals that have flashing yellow lights to allow people to make a left turn without sitting there and idling. Yet I've been stopped on Wurzbach and Culebra and many other streets by protected left turn signals that come on when there's absolutely no traffic there to make a left turn. And you sit there idling for 30 seconds as the light goes through its cycle. And back in the old days, we used to have loops embedded in the road that would sense the traffic, and those seemed to work better. But now we have these little IR cameras overhead that are supposed to be looking at the traffic flow and deciding when there's traffic present, yet it seems like they're not being used, because I've seen even Dreamland and Lock Hill Summit just sitting there holding for Dreamland when there's no traffic and everybody's sitting idling. And one of the biggest things is not to be sitting there idling your vehicle to produce more emissions.
All right, David, thank you for that. So traffic, ozone emissions, that's connected, and how do we make sure traffic is rolling along? Sid Martinez, Executive Director of the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Well, traffic operations is one of the first things that we'll take a look at, because it's some of the easiest easiest things that we can implement here to ensure that we keep traffic moving. Like you said, idling obviously does contribute to ozone, and so When we look at these transportation control measures, those are things that will hopefully lessen the emissions that are in the air, and then we can use that as we look at examining future ozone levels. And so, and not to get too technical here, but what we'll do is look at our entire transportation plan, and we'll look at all of the projects that we're implementing, including some of these traffic operation improvements. And hopefully the combination of all of those things, including adding capacity, including bicycle pedestrian transit projects, hopefully all of those things will not worsen the air. And that's part of the job that we have to do, and a lot of the work that we'll be doing here in the next few months to ensure that we meet that transportation conformity requirement.
So cars idling, that's a big cause of ozone. So if we could get Whataburger to kick out those burgers faster, then we would probably do a better job of reducing our ozone. But Judge, you were reported saying that EPA's non-attainment designation will cost Bexar County residents hundreds of millions of dollars. How so?
Well, the estimates are that we're, I guess this came from y'all, Diane, about 200, by the time we get to the point that it kicks in full time, that it could cost us about $216 million a year. Let me try to follow up on that traffic thing. I think about 80 to 90% of our ozone problems are caused by oxides of nitrogen going in the air from vehicles. I think it's extremely important that we figure out more ways to utilize traffic flow within the city, where signalization is a very big part of that, turning lanes are another part of it, and public transit. We're working on now trying to come forward with a good public transit program that utilizes technology better, that gives people choices of what kind of public transit to take, whether it's Uber, Lyft, whether it's bicycle, whether it's scooter, whatever it is. If we do a good job on that, and that's still a very big if, then we could make a big dent in this traffic flow, and that's where most of all of our problems coming from.
And Diana Rath, how are we going to do that?
I think it's really important when we look at how the public and the private sectors have come together, and it's acknowledged by EPA that the pathway forward is very good. I have to really thank and commend CPS for the efforts they've made with diversifying their electrical power generating. And very importantly, later this year, they're going to close down the Dealey plant. That alone is going to lower our ozone about 0.5 part per billion. When you're only three parts over, that's a big deal. They emit about 9 tons of ozone each day it's operating. So that's a significant level, and I have to really thank CPS for also diversifying all of their power and including solar and wind. Also, the efforts that VIA has made, the convergence to a compressed natural gas fleet, having the largest CNG station in North America, is very important at decreasing what our public transportation system is emitting. So as we move forward with what the judge is suggesting, we're really doing it in a very health-conscious manner.
Ana Sandoval, City of San Antonio, District 7, the CPS Energy, it's a municipally owned energy provider, utility. Other cities are pledging to go emissions-free, and they're setting deadlines that are 20, 25 years into the future. We haven't got a deadline that from our municipal energy provider.
Right. I think that's a whole show unto itself that I'd love to listen in on. But you're right. Right now, there actually is no way to go completely renewable if you don't have the battery capacity to provide when the wind isn't blowing or the sun isn't shining. Some progress has been made, but you know, CPS provides a huge energy for a huge region, so we wouldn't be there quite yet. Definitely, there are strides being made in that direction. One thing I want to make sure we don't forget is that we are a growing city. For a long time, we were the largest city not in non-attainment, and now look at us. We have a big city problem, right? So we're a growing city. So even though right now we're just on the cusp of the standards or on the other sides of the standards, it really is time to make sure we don't make our ozone problem worse because of the growth that's coming. So it's sort of a blessing in disguise, you may say. It's really going to force us to get down to business. And I think the judge is absolutely on the right track talking about public transit. We know we're in non-attainment. Now let's make our strategy to get us back into attainment and keep us there.
So we're going to take a break. When we come back, I really want to try and dig into what is this going to cost taxpayers here in San Antonio, the average Joe on the job, what's it going to mean for them? And also what's some low-hanging fruit that we can find here to make some changes? Our phone lines are open. We're talking about San Antonio's air non-attainment status, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio is now officially non-attainment with the EPA's Clean Air Standards. What does that mean for you? We're having that conversation this afternoon. We have Bexar County Judge Nelson Wolf with us, Ana Sandoval, District 7 from the San Antonio City Council. Diane Rath is the Executive Director of the Alamo Area Council of Governments, also known as ACOG. And Sid Martinez is with the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. Let's go to the phone lines. Todd is on the air. Todd, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Todd.
I just had a quick question. I was curious, when are we going to implement the clean air standards similar to Hays County up in Austin, where they do emissions testing at the inspection facilities? I think that if we use history as a guide, you know, normally they don't implement these standards until they realize there's a problem. Why not implement them early and try to avoid kind of where we are, I guess, now? I guess if you would say early, not really early anymore, but I think we need emissions testing to get inspection here. I think it's way past due.
All right, Dan Rath with ACOG, Emission Standards. You see some vehicles rolling down the road and you wonder how did that guy get an inspection sticker? If tougher standards, would it remove some of those clunkers off the road?
Well, clearly, once you hit moderate, then it's required. Austin in both Williamson County and then in Travis County voluntarily went to requiring that. That's about $25 every year. So there is an economic burden to every single person who drives a vehicle once you go to that mandatory testing. And when you talk about the cost of non-attainment, it's very expensive for the region as a whole. At the Business Journal's Air Quality Summit that they had last fall, they had a speaker from Houston who stated between 03 and 07, Houston spent between $3 to $5 billion just in that very limited time period. And here we are in 2017, and there's still a non-attainment. Yes, there is improved, but they're not even approaching getting out of moderate at this time. So there's a very high cost for everyone, both individual and small business. If you go to Houston, there's a reason your gas costs more, because they're required to have that type of blend. And when you fill your car and you put that clunky thing in at your gas tank, that's to prevent any release. That all does have a cost to each individual.
So we're not going to have to do that?
We don't have to do that at the marginal level. That's true.
So many of the things that there's been some scare tactics thrown around for years about we don't want to be in non-attainment because we're going to have to pay more for gas and do all these other different modifications to our vehicles. That's not going to happen.
Not at the marginal level, but there is a cost. The cost of permitting for business is certainly going to be increased. The cost of the project delays, both the highway construction, as you heard, and also general construction. You have inspection fees that will be going up. You know, when business pays a fee, that's passed on to the customer, and then you get to the road construction delays.
All right, so there are going to be costs that will be passed along. And the question is whether those will be hidden or if there'll be sticker shock. So Anna Sandoval, District 7?
Sure. A couple of things. At the moment, we don't know yet of any increase in inspection fee that's necessarily going to be tied to this. We also don't know what the cost is going to be for those permits. I mean, that's something that the county and the city and our partners inside Bexar County will have to sit down and talk to TCEQ about and make a plan to get us into attainment. I think we will be very mindful of the cost on individuals and businesses. But let me tell you, what we can't lose sight of is if we don't get out of this marginal attainment, if we don't do our best right now, we could see ourselves facing the moderate attainment. And that's when we as locals will have less control and there will be more federal requirements on us. That is why it is so important to focus on fixing this problem now. We also have another challenge coming up in that the CAFE standards or the gas standards for cars that were passed just a few years ago may be revoked under the current presidential administration. That means more work that we have to do locally to clean up the air. We don't have that ability to set standards locally.
Yeah, and there's a lot of confusion about what's going to happen with the standards for vehicles and their gas efficiency. California is looking at keeping the higher standards. Auto manufacturers may be working just to meet those California standards, but that's all in chaos right now because of lack of leadership in Washington, D.C. about what to do about that.
Well, uncertainty is always bad for business.
You know, can I chime in on that just a minute?
Yeah.
Councilperson Sandoval is exactly right. If they don't set those high standards for automobiles, we'll never be able to handle the clean air issues in the United States. So we think that's really important that they do that. The other thing that the Congress is not paid a great deal of attention to is climate change. We know a big part of that is generated by us. Just to give you an example, yesterday, CPS used 5,080 megawatts of power, the highest amount of electricity power that we've ever done before in the history of San Antonio. It exceeded the high of 5,017.
What a coincidence, it happened on a really hot day.
Yeah. So, you know, climate change, standards for automobiles, those are big issues for the United States Congress to address. Dropping out of the Paris climate control was, I think, a big mistake.
Let me go back to the phone lines. Joelle has called in. Joelle, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, I am a motorcycle rider, and I'm just wondering if you guys have any plans to encourage more riders, scooters, mopeds, and making it more appealing for us and easier for us to drive in San Antonio, maybe even allowing lane splitting and filtering at stoplights. Do you guys have any plans for that? I know we help reduce emissions and even traffic time. Studies show that. So I don't know if you guys have any plans or if you do plan on including us even more.
Joelle, who on our panel wants to take that?
I think we have a couple of comments here. I hope you wear a helmet when you ride that motorcycle, Joelle. So the city is looking at doing something around vehicular emissions and experimenting with electric vehicles, which we know will keep
two-wheel vehicles?
No, I'm talking about four-wheeled vehicles right now. I think you bring up a good point. Maybe it's possible to look at some kind of low-emission motorcycles or two-wheeled vehicles. And now I'm going to hand it over to Sid with transportation.
Okay, Sid Martinez with Alamo Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Sure. You know, it's not from the MPO perspective, it's our job to plan the transportation system. And we don't necessarily try to get people, you know, to change their driving habits, although we do obviously advocate for transit and bicycle and pedestrian issues. But we've never really advocated for motorcycles. But I guess it's something that we could do based on, you know, the fact that they do probably emit less smog or less tailpipe exhaustion than a normal car would. But, you know, anytime we plan our transportation system, of course, we're looking at all modes of transportation, and we hope that we can continue to look at those modes as we plan our system here in San Antonio.
I think the person that called in is exactly right. I did ride a motorcycle at one time when I was a little younger, and my son today just bought him a scooter, and so he rides the scooter to work every day now. The new ones that are put on the one of the companies that came here and offered these little scooter things, I think that's terrific.
The ones downtown?
Yes. I mean, they're used a lot. I see a lot of people around the courthouse bringing them. The bicycles are another good one. I think anything we can do to get people out of to encourage people to get out of their individual cars, because almost every car is driven, I don't know, 80-90% of just one passenger in there. The better we can build a transit system, the more alternative means we can get someone to use, even rideshare cars. I don't know where that is. The city looking at that?
We are. I'll go ahead and jump in. When you talk about rideshare, we're actually we mean carpooling. In other words, not for business, but that you share a ride with someone that you may work with. We are starting a pilot program downtown San Antonio with the City of San Antonio employees. There are over 1,000, I think close to 2,000 City of San Antonio employees working downtown, almost all of whom are paying for parking every month and, you know, struggling looking for a space. So we think there's an opportunity there to create a program that starts carpooling or directs them to what bus route may work best for them. So if that is successful, then we will begin working with other downtown employers as well.
And Diane Rath?
I have to remind people that for years we've had newride.com that will match you with someone to carpool with. If you're in Bexar County or in any of the surrounding counties, you can log on and they'll be able to do a match to help assist you in finding that carpool partner.
So there are a lot of different individualized solutions, but this is a problem that people see as a collective issue. And so will we have to have some sort of identification and adoption of that this is my problem, and that people have to have, like, take personal responsibility for San Antonio's air, also for climate change and other issues like that? Anna Sandoval.
Look, personal responsibility certainly helps, right? We all clean up after ourselves when we, you know, when we cook or whatever we do. So maybe we should do it when it comes to the environment. But the truth is, it's very hard to do that because it's just so easy to get in your car. It's so easy to run the AC really cold, and it feels great, right? So What we have to do as a community is come up with ways to make it easier for people to make the right choice. This isn't about, you know, twisting people's arms, but what will it take to actually get you to carpool with someone? So we think maybe you get an extra half hour at lunch, or maybe you get a prime parking spot if you come in. So that's what we have to do, is come up with ways to make it easier for people to make the right choice.
And if we can ever get a state-of-the-art public transit system, I get so sick and tired of seeing these big buses running down the street with nobody in them other than the driver. And there's got to be a better way to use a multiple choices of vehicles. And then if you ever got a good one, then you can go to employers and you can say, let your employee for free ride public transit. We do that at Bexar County, but they don't have much choice.
Right.
So I just think if we ever got a good public transit system, people would begin to use it more.
All right, we're going to take another break. Our phone lines are open. You can call in and talk about what's happening with San Antonio's air, with the non-attainment status. What solutions do you see out there? 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this. The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. County Judge Nelson Wolf, Ana Sandoval, District 7, Sid Martinez with the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, Diane Rath with the ACOG, Alamo Area Council of Governments, all in the studio right now, ready to take your calls as we talk about San Antonio air and non-attainment status. Mary Ann is on the line. Mary Ann, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm calling because someone mentioned earlier the connection between pollution and physical health. On Monday, I read in the San Antonio Express News something which I'd never learned before, that there is a connection between air pollution and diabetes. Since in this community, many people have either one of the two types of diabetes, I thought this was important. I quickly read a brief excerpt from the paper. Research shows that air pollution, which triggers body-wide inflammation and reduces insulin production, is a risk factor, and it contributed to around 3.2 million new diabetes cases globally in 2016.
All right, Mary Ann, thank you for that. Let me go to Ana Sandoval, District 7 City Council, about all of the different health consequences that we have from having air that is a stressor.
Sure, absolutely. So just a little background. So I spent 8 years working in air quality management. And at the end of those 8 years, I said, you know, I know a lot about emissions and how to clean them up and where they go, but I don't know about the details of the health impact. So I went back to school, I got a master's in public health, and I focused on environmental epidemiology, specifically air pollution impacts to health. And the truth is, there are many. It really depends on what concentrations we're talking about and which pollutant specifically we're talking about. I've not read the study that Mary Ann brings up, but what I did see in my time doing research on this is that we have impacts on maternal health and birth outcomes.
Those are like low birth weight,
premature birth weight,
infant mortality.
All of those, air pollution will play a role in all of those, particularly for people who may reside or work or spend time close to a freeway or to a high emission source. So a freeway is a high emission source, maybe an industrial facility. I have not read the study on diabetes, but I absolutely will after this call, because we have such a high amount of diabetes in San Antonio, and we need to make sure we're not doing anything to make that worse.
Another caller, Russell. And Russell, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I have questions to Ms. Rath. I was a retired pharmacist and the ACOG the Sierra Club representative, the ACOG Air Advisory Committee. After the governor's veto of the funding, these committees were dissolved, and recently even the Air Executive Committee was rolled into the board meeting. Are we going to have to go alone in Bexar County just to form our own committees, since it was only the Bexar County designation, maybe not through ACOG, or is ACOG going to reconvene these committees that were dissolved?
Russell, thank you for the call. Diane Rath from ACOG.
Sure, Russell. It's good to hear from you again. And as you well know, the financial support for those committees was eliminated, and so there was no means to continue them. But by no means, I want to reassure people, has that work stopped. And the executive committee stopped meeting because of lack of funding. But all the action and responsibility and policymaking is transitioned over to the board of ACOG. That is the policymaking body for the region when you look at multiple programs. And the very next step that will occur with TCEQ's guidance is really developing that stakeholder outreach. And they'll be working with the city and the county to develop that plan. And you will have stakeholder meetings that are convened. You will begin to develop a plan. Interestingly, at the marginal level, there's no requirement to develop that attainment plan. You just continue the actions and the steps it takes. And I think it's really important to recognize that in our area, 79% of the ozone that occurs in our county and in this region comes from outside our border. We're only producing 21% of the ozone here locally. So that's why the challenge to decrease it is so significant and so steep, because the foreign transport, what's coming from Egypt, and we saw it so clearly last week with the Egyptian sand. Well, the same way Egyptian sand comes, so does ozone. From China, from South America, from the Port of Houston, from those dirty Midwest factories as they blow in here. So we really have to work together as an entity and as a region to work even harder to decrease it, since we control so little. 79% is out of our control totally.
But the interesting thing is, and Russell kind of alluded to this, that this non-attainment status that was applied, it's just not to the entire statistical area. It's just to Bexar County in and of itself, which is unusual for the EPA. And I would like to know what exactly should I read into that, Judge Wolf? Just Bexar County.
I don't know what their thinking is on those issues. I know that Anna said just a little while ago there's not monitors in the outlying counties. The monitors are here in Bexar County. And obviously we're the big player here.
But we're seeing growth all around us.
Well, we're seeing it to Comal, a lot of growth to Comal. Now we're seeing it out toward the Burney area. Some of the other counties around us are not booming that fast like Atascosa, but we're definitely seeing it in a couple of directions. And I don't know for sure why were not included.
Anna Sandoval, do you think this makes it easier or harder, the fact that it's just Bexar County?
It makes it a little tougher. So let me touch on a few points here that we discussed. First of all, the dissolution of the committees that Russell mentioned, that was true. But let me tell you that Judge Wolf and Mayor Nuremberg, the city and the county, did step up and say, we're not going to let this, you know, fall through the cracks. We will put in funding to make sure some of these processes continue and that we continue a commitment to maintaining our air quality. So the city and county already have that strategy underway. I imagine we will continue to work together to make sure we do have a plan, even if it's not required. Our plan is to get out of non-attainment. So we will buckle down on that. In terms of, so you bring up this question about the surrounding counties. It's going to be challenging because there's going to be an incentive for businesses to expand outside of Bexar County instead of inside of Bexar County because of this offset that Ms. Rath mentioned. And then what happens when they grow outside of Bexar County? If they're not in non-attainment, you know, Bexar County has no regulatory jurisdiction over those areas. And without them being in non-attainment, there's very few things TCEQ can do as well. So that creates a challenge. We're going to have to get creative about how to make sure we keep businesses in Bexar County and how we make sure we keep them clean.
So real quickly, how significant is this offset cost? Is that enough to make a business owner think I need to move to a different county?
Well, I'll always answer that with the example of Toyota. The only reason Toyota looked at San Antonio was because Dallas was in non-attainment. And I think when you look at the detailed analysis that EPA did of Bexar County and the surrounding areas, including the level of NOx and VOC emissions, that's all detailed, and clearly Bexar County is by far the largest producer, interestingly enough, followed by Atascosa and then by Comal, because we do know where the industry is. We do know what's releasing pollutants into the air. We do know the commuting patterns. And so there is such a stark difference between what we produce here in Bexar County and those surrounding areas.
Back to the phones with Yanni. Yanni, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I didn't catch the first part of this, so I apologize if I missed some information, but the part I've been listening to did discuss, like, you know, mass transport and individual choices and so forth. But I'm curious whether we've talked about, like, what percentage of the pollution comes from, like, just how we produce the energy that we use. So CPS and the coal plants that they still have and don't want to seem to relinquish. I know there was just some, you know, uproar on near the north side about a developer that went in and just tore down a bunch of trees and, like, trying to have, you know, trees and green space and things that, help us purify our air. I do think that as we continue to grow and look at how San Antonio is growing, we should really think about how we approach these things and not just, coming from the federal level. I mean, I have children, and they're constantly telling me that they have ozone days where they can't even go outside and
All right, Yanni, thank you for that call. So a couple of things there. But I want to talk the trees thing she mentioned sort of stands out. Are the trees a factor? Is that something? Do we need to plant more trees? Can we tree our way out of this?
Trees definitely help. We can't tree our way out of it. There are a lot of other things we need to do. Yoni's right. You know, we do need to look at how energy is produced. And Ms. Rath did mention that one of the coal-fired power plants will be closed in the near future. That's going to be very helpful. But to Yanni's point is that the majority of our what we call ozone precursors, the pollutants that add up to form ozone, many of them come from industrial sources, and many of them also come from vehicles. However, I do want to clarify something that that was said earlier, that ozone comes from other places. It doesn't. Ozone is formed in the presence of sunlight. Ozone cannot be transported because it gets eaten up by other chemicals. So you wouldn't get ozone from Mexico or from other places. You could get pollution that combines to form ozone. But the truth is, when we have high ozone days, we also have very low winds. That's why our concentrations build up. Okay. So I know some people like to think that that it's not our problem because we don't cause it, but our lungs are here, and we need to protect our health.
And we need to do everything we can to get to a point where we are able to get out of this status. So Bexar County Judge Nelson Wolf, I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. Ana Sandoval, San Antonio City Council Representative for District 7. Dayan Rath, Executive Director of the Alamo Area Council of Governments, ACOG. Sid Martinez, Executive Director of the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. All of our callers, this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.